episode number 10 of the College Try Podcast. I am your host, Austin Price. You know, it's weird. Earlier we had, I think it was episode 5 of the College Try Podcast. It was, I warned that, hey, we may have a pretty long episode here, you know, because there was just a lot to talk about. It seemed like I was trying to mark some milestone episode, which, you know, poetically, sure, that would be nice. But it was just a coincidence. There was a lot going on. And now here we are with episode 10, and I'm once again going to warn you, we've got a lot to cover. I say that every week, but holding a packet here that I printed out of things to tackle, and there's a lot going on, so let's get right into it. Starting, of course, as we always do, with the AP Top 10. There are several teams here that I am going to dig into. One in particular, we'll get to them in just a moment, but let's just start with reading them off. Number one, Texas. Number two, Oregon. Number three, Penn State. Number four, Ohio State. There's a key one. Number five, Georgia. Number six, Miami. Number seven, Alabama. Number eight, LSU. Number nine, Iowa State. And number 10, Clemson. Okay, so first thing I want to touch on, the main thing I want to touch on when looking at this top 10, Alabama is still seventh. Why? We typically hear about SEC bias, but this is Alabama bias that I'm seeing. I mean, and we'll get more on why this isn't SEC bias in a moment, but this is just unbelievable. Alabama barely squeaked past South Carolina at home. Do you know how that game went, first of all? Alabama won by 2 points. Okay, they won by 2 points. They were up 14-0, blew the entirety of that lead. They gave up 19 straight points. Jalen Milroe, there was a safety that they gave South Carolina. It could have been prevented. There was an interception thrown by Milroe right before halftime that let the Gamecocks tack on a field goal right before half. And then it was they were completely cold for the third quarter, which gave the South Carolina Gamecocks a chance to take a lead. Alabama eventually took the lead back. They added to it. It was 27-19. Next thing you know, great touchdown catch for the Gamecocks. All right, they go for two to tie it. They don't get it. Then they get the onside kick. Alabama whiffed on the kick twice and let South Carolina get it. If it wasn't for Sellers, their QB, if it wasn't for him throwing a ball so far off base that a blind man could have intercepted it, if it weren't for that, Alabama would have probably lost. They were 20 yards away from field goal range, and a field goal would have given South Carolina the 28-27 win. And you combine that with them blowing the 28-0 lead to Georgia, which, as I said, the more we get through this season, the more it looks like that was a knock on Bama than it was praise for Georgia. Blowing a 28-0 lead to the Dogs, Bama's lucky to not have three losses today, much less still be a one-loss team. They're squeaking by. It seems like anybody can beat this Bama team, or at least make you think they can, whether it's someone like Vandy, South Carolina, or it's someone like Georgia. Bama's squeaking by, man. But you know what? Here's the thing. I'm not upset that Bama fell. Didn't fall. I'm not upset that Bama didn't fall. I'm not. You got a conference win, kept your good record, still got a quality win over Georgia. Who cares, right? If you don't rise, I'm cool with it. You don't deserve to rise. But if someone wants to say, hey, they didn't fall, you know, we didn't move them. It was an unimpressive win, didn't tell us much good about them. But hey, they still got a conference dub. If you want to say that, fine, whatever. People may disagree. I'm not going to get on a hill over it. What gets me upset, what got me on the hill, was the fact that Tennessee fell three spots. Three. It's not that they just fell. They fell three spots. I think there was an argument to put Tennessee over Alabama. They fell out of the top 10. They were eighth. They are down to 11. Do you know what Tennessee did? They beat Florida. Mediocre SEC team. Beat them at home. Struggled with them. The game went to OT. But at least Tennessee can crutch, hey, this was a rivalry game for us. Alabama and South Carolina don't have a rivalry. There's no rivalry implications there. You don't highlight that game on your schedule. Tennessee highlights Florida. Alabama, they don't highlight SC. SC doesn't highlight them. At least not, you know, with any true passion. Like, oh, we're going to get them this year. No. So that's what I'm saying. It's like Tennessee had the struggle home win over a conference opponent that's underperformed, but at least it was a rivalry game. At least that justifies at least a pinch of the struggling. But Tennessee drops three spots. Alabama doesn't move. And this is what points towards me in what I said earlier. This is not SEC bias. This is Bama bias. Because when you really look at the rest of the polls, the SEC got hosed. Georgia is still behind Ohio State. I get it, but it is controversial. Georgia struggled with Mississippi State, but they still got a double-digit conference win. Ohio State just played the first big opponent, the first real opponent at the Power Four level that they have faced all year, and they lost. And they're still above Georgia? At least Georgia has a quality win. I mean, they've got Clemson in the top 10. So that tells me that the AP voters believe, hey, Georgia beat a top 10 team 34-3. Ohio State hasn't done anything like that. What are they still doing above Georgia? I get that Georgia has struggled. I get that Ohio State barely lost. But the strength of win, quality of resume, does that mean anything? Ohio State stayed above them. I'm surprised. I'm surprised by that when you consider the win over Clemson. Then, as I said, got Tennessee dropping three spots. We've got even LSU. They stayed below Bama. This is despite LSU beating a top 10 Ole Miss and having their tight loss to USC look all the more excusable. USC almost beat Penn State this last weekend. I said that was an upset alert. I'm not an idiot. I told you USC. I told you Penn State was fake. USC was going to scare them. That's exactly what they did. LSU's only loss is to that USC team narrowly, and they just got a top 10 conference win. They jumped up, but they're still below Bama. Are you serious? They looked ugly against South Carolina. It's not like, ooh, South Carolina put on a good game. No. If South Carolina didn't turn the ball over like four times, Bama loses that game. The only reason Bama won is because South Carolina played uglier somehow. As I said, if you don't want to drop them, fine. But when you consider how ugly they looked, the clearly short leash that the Vols are on, and how LSU is still in their shadow while riding so high today, I can't help but laugh at the AP here. This is also just only made more ridiculous by how inconsistent the voters are with their weighing of Bama. As I said, Georgia's got that top 10 win over Clemson. And their only loss is in Tuscaloosa by 7, yet they're below OSU, who's beaten nobodies. So, quality loss at who you think is the 7th best team by a touchdown, but they're still below Ohio State. I mean, if Bama is still as quality of a win as their rank implies, that decision appears all the more questionable. Speaking of the SEC getting hosed, why is Vandy still unranked? Vandy, I can't believe I'm saying this. Rank the Commodores. They're 4-2. I mean, they have a win over Bama, a win at Kentucky. Both of those games, they were double-digit underdogs heading into. What's all that about? Why aren't they ranked? At this point, it seems as if some of the AP voters are attempting to hold back any of Bama's competition, whether it be someone like Georgia, who can compete with them in some postseason hunt, or one like Vandy that managed to beat them head-to-head. If that's at all accurate, if that is at all an accurate theory, that is disgraceful. In another attempt to illustrate just how strange Bama's placement is, get this. Clemson is another team that did not move in the rankings this week. They were 10 before last Saturday. They're 10 now. This is despite beating a conference opponent on the road by 5 touchdowns. They beat Wake Forest 49-14 on the road. I may be reaching here, but are the voters trying to imply that a 35-point road win over a mediocre ACC team weighs as much as a 2-point home win over a mediocre SEC team? That is downright goofy. My goodness. And the further you look down the polls, the more pathetic it looks. For example, Notre Dame beat Stanford. That's a Power Four rival, 49-7. They dropped. Notre Dame dropped a spot after beating a rival 49-7. But Bama stays put after beating just some random conference opponent by 2 points? Come on. I understand that little ticks like that could be for reasons not directly related to a result, but it still paints a pretty hideous picture of Bama being held to a far lower standard. And this is despite, mind you, spending the last 15 years where they were hitting the highest standard imaginable. So that's just not a good look of integrity for the poll. I warned before this season even began. The AP is going to upset me. The AP is going to tick me off. And this week is the first that really bugged me. And lo and behold, it's to Bama's benefit. God, I mean, how symbolic is that? All right. You know, I was going to touch on this a little bit later, but since we're talking about the SEC, I guess I ought as well keep with this. Kirby Smart. Man, this is going to upset me as well. Just we're already over 10 minutes into this episode. You just bear with me, all right? Because I'm going to lose my temper here as well. Kirby Smart, I already told you, him and the Dogs did not look so hot against the other Dogs in the SEC, Mississippi State. Final was 41-31. There's a good QB for Mississippi State. His name is Michael Van Buren. I think it's Michael Van Buren Jr., but don't quote me on that. He goes running out of bounds onto the Georgia sideline. Out of literal nowhere, Kirby Smart comes charging over and pushes Van Buren. So, just to recap, a player runs out of bounds, as he's supposed to do, as players often do, and the opposing team's head coach comes over and shoves him, and shoved him hard. Followed through with it and everything. He didn't bump into him. He arms extended, shove, conscious decision. I'm going to shove you. I'm sorry. That's unjustifiable. That is inexcusable. There was no flag, no penalization towards Georgia, towards Smart at all, at least not during the game. Kirby Smart has since apologized. I appreciate the apology. But, of course, he used the excuse of, I was trying to get my DC's attention. My defensive coordinator, Schumann, I think his last name is, or something like that. I was trying to get his attention, you know? That doesn't fly. As I said, the shove was clearly a conscious decision. You didn't trip into somebody. You didn't bump into somebody. You didn't grab onto him to guide him out of the way or to reach past him. No, you shoved him. I don't care if you didn't know who it was. You knew there was a body in your way, and you shoved them. I don't care if it's a player. I don't care if it's a coordinator. I don't care if it's somebody on your team. I don't care if it's somebody against your team. You don't shove somebody that way. There's no justifiable reason behind that. Clearly, your brain registered, I'm going to shove somebody. And now you're apologizing because it was a kid from the opposing team. You're trying to save face. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. And you know another reason I'm not going to buy it? Not only because I have eyes, but because I have a brain. I look at Georgia. I look at your culture. Georgia has become what Miami's been clowned for. Georgia can't keep players out of the clink. They got players getting arrested left and right for some sort of nonsense. So clearly, morals and character is not very placed. It's not placed very high on the pedestal at Georgia Athletics. And now you've got the head coach shoving opposing players on the sideline. I think this says a lot about Kirby Smart. I think he kind of told on himself here. It just adds to Georgia, their football program. It's questionable image. It's questionable reputation. You don't have any morals there. You don't have a good culture there. Just a bunch of jerks. That's how it looks. I'm not saying those are my words. That's how it looks. And how is it not going to look that way when you got the head coach acting the fool like that? It's ridiculous. All right. Going to move on to some Floridian representation now, because that's always been known to make me really happy with how some of the Floridian schools have done. I will say, again, Florida gave the Vols one heck of a fight. Some may criticize the Gators for blowing a 10-0 second half lead, and they may believe that Tennessee is worse than we had previously thought, but nonetheless, Florida did much better than I thought they would, so good for them. Meanwhile, UCF, my goodness, complete collapse. I said last week, they got to take advantage of being at home against Cincinnati. They got some tough games on the horizon. They lost 19-13. Low-scoring game, ugly game. Cincinnati won it. They are 3-3 after a 3-0 start. The Knights have just fallen apart. So this was a gut punch, to say the absolute least, when you know who's upcoming. Speaking of gut punches, South Florida laid a complete egg this last weekend. They were kept out of the end zone all game. They were shut down 21-3 to Memphis. The Bulls are now 2-4, and their hopes to salvage the season are on a rapid decline. That's brutal. I thought that was going to be like an upset alert. The game was supposed to be in Raymond James, I believe. Got postponed. It was supposed to be on a Friday, but because of Hurricane Milton, it got pushed back to Saturday, and then it was like Camping World Stadium in Orlando. It was something like that. So I understand that plans were a bit jostled. I get it. But 21-3, come on, man. That's ridiculous. But the same cannot be said, however, for how the UWF Argonauts did. So proud to report on this. They just beat up on Delta State 40-28. That gives the Argos back-to-back wins and a positive record, and they have an intoxicating cocktail of homecoming glory and sweet revenge. Thought of that the other day. Ain't that cute? And I will say I was right about Delta State being overrated. I don't want it to come off as mean. Overrated, that term always gets such a harsh rep. But I just knew their ranking, their record, it was a bit misleading. Delta State hadn't played as tough of competition as UWF had. So UWF, out for blood, out for revenge, looking to make a good example on homecoming. Delta State coming over, thinking they've got it in the bag after last season. No, you didn't. And UWF, I didn't expect them to beat you by double digits, but they did. That's how good the Argos are, so good for them. Alrighty, looking ahead here, I'm going to do something different. I want to tackle FIU for a moment. They play tomorrow, and since I've literally never talked about them, I figured, why not? The Panthers are 2-4. They head into El Paso to take on the 0-6 UTEP Miners. That's one of the clearer shots that the Panthers have had at a win in a while. So that's a winnable game for the Panthers there, to say the least. FSU on Friday goes to Duke. Both teams coming off of byes. The starts to their seasons are polar opposites, though. FSU's 1-5. Duke is 5-1. The Blue Devils have never beaten Florida State on the gridiron. But if that's ever going to change, it's going to be here. UWF now back on the road to take on Showon. The Hawks are 2-3 after going 0-10 last season. Their final loss of the season, coincidentally enough, was to the Argos, 52-6. So they're off to a worse start in 2024 than UWF, and they've recently been dominated by them, but they're nonetheless better than last year's Hawks. They're at home this time around and catching the Argos after an emotional upset, a.k.a. this has major hangover potential here. You win only if you don't sleep on them, Argos. Keep that in mind. Other Floridian teams include Miami. They head to 4-2 Louisville. Louisville's just coming off of a road win over Virginia. With that, I'm officially putting the Canes on upset alert. If you don't understand why, I refer you to the past few weeks, where Miami was struggling with Vatek, struggling with Cal. Very, very lucky to get out of those pinches that they were in. USF hosts 1-5 UAB. They have no reason to lose that. UCF goes into Ames to take on number 9 Iowa State. This is what we feared, folks. The Cyclones justified my expectations. They beat West Virginia in Morgantown by double digits. I thought that was an upset alert for Iowa State. They were expected to win close by the spread. Iowa State continues to prove me wrong. So I got to say night-night to the Knights there. Then we've got Florida hosting Kentucky. Now, this one's interesting. This is going to be a defining moment for Napier and the Gators. They're at home. The Wildcats just lost to Vandy in Lexington. If they once again lose to Kentucky, because they've lost the last few, Florida will feel, honestly, as if their last three games haven't even happened. As if the win over Mississippi State didn't happen. As if the win over UCF didn't happen. As if almost beating Tennessee and Neyland didn't happen. If you lose at home to Kentucky after Kentucky loses to Vandy, come on, Florida. It's Kentucky. They're called a basketball school for a reason. You get better talent than them. You got to be able to beat the Wildcats. If Billy Napier, I mean, everyone has agreed, he's gone. It's just a matter of when. But if he ever wanted a shred of, hey, come on, give me one more chance. If he ever wanted that, he's got to beat Kentucky. This is a make or break game for the Gators, their season, their coaching situation. I think all of it. All right, here's my score predictions for those games and more. I got FIU beating UTEP 27-13. UTEP's winless, man. Come on, FIU. I know you're not great, but you got to give me something there. I have Duke beating Florida State. Got to be in a low-scoring game. 24-20. I got Florida State scoring more than they usually do. I got them hitting the big 2-0. Duke at home, both teams off a bye. 5-1 hosting 1-5. Outside of the history between these two teams, there's nothing implying Florida State's going to win this game. Nothing concrete. I got to take Duke. UWF, I got them beating up on Showon. As I said, you can't sleep on them. But assuming UWF is smart enough not to, they're going to win that game 42-17. If they're focused on the Hawks going into that game, that one's over. Number 6, Miami, what is allegedly the 6th best team in America, according to the voters. I've got them beating Louisville 30-26. I got to be in another struggle win. Wouldn't be surprised if Louisville won, but I've got that one being a toughie. And then we got USF and UAB again. Give me South Florida. I think they win by a blowout. I think they're angry after getting embarrassed by Memphis in their own home state. I think they go take on the one win Blazers, because the Blazers have taken some beatings, and I think they add to the list. 41-14 Bulls there. Number nine, Iowa State. I've got Iowa State winning. I don't have it being a blowout. I wouldn't be surprised if it was. I've got Iowa State winning 32-24, but that could also be a 34-14. Stay tuned. Then I got Florida beating Kentucky 27-17. So, Florida, again, if you don't win that and you lose at home again to Kentucky again, I just don't know what to say. I don't know what to say to you. You almost beat Tennessee. Tennessee's a good team. I have to believe that that's not just rivalry stuff. I have to believe that you have some competence on that football team. If you can't show it against Kentucky, I don't know what to tell you, darling. All right, other games going around the nation include number 11, Tennessee, number 7, Alabama. It is in Neyland Stadium. Tennessee, I'm going to tell you right now, I am not a Tennessee fan. But I'm gonna make a hot take here. I've got Tennessee as Alabama's not biggest rival, obviously not, but their most hate-filled rival. In other words, I think Tennessee hates Bama more than Auburn does. That's probably kind of controversial to people at first listen, because it comes off as like, oh, come on, Auburn hates Bama for sure. It's one of the biggest rivalries. Yada, yada, yada. Yes. But I think Auburn, LSU, Florida, I think those types of teams, they can't hate Bama as much as Tennessee does. I honestly don't think so. Because all of those teams in the last 15, 20 years, they've done something. They've been able to compete with Bama, right? I want to mainly look at Auburn and LSU, because I think in no particular order, the three biggest rivals for Alabama are Tennessee, Auburn, LSU. Auburn plays them every year, hates them totally. But Auburn's got a national title win that's not even 15 years old officially yet. They've made another national title game that they almost won since then. They've tripped up Bama. They've derailed a season. They've made and broken the tide in years before. They hate Bama, but they can sit there and pridefully say, we've beaten them. We'll beat them again. They can never count us out. We scare them quite often. Auburn can say that. LSU, they can sit here and say, listen, Bama's done more than we have. They're, you know, and we haven't done as much as they have in the last 10 years, even in recent memory. But we have been able to beat them head to head. We've had our own greatness. We've had our own spurts of success. We've won our own national titles, yada, yada, yada. They can sit there and say, we've done something. We've beaten Bama. We have shared the spotlight with Bama. In recent memory, mind you, I'm just talking about the last 15, 20 years. In recent memory, can Tennessee say they've done that? No, they can't. The last time Alabama went into Neyland Stadium, Tennessee had their greatest team of the 21st century, that Hendon Hooker Orange Bowl winning team. Bama had a relatively forgettable year, at least by their own standard. They had a couple losses. The Tennessee game wasn't even the only rivalry loss they had in the regular season. They didn't even make the playoffs. Tennessee, with all of that, with the great team, with the home field advantage, with Alabama having a forgettable year, Tennessee won 52-49 in the final seconds. That was Tennessee's first and only win over Nick Saban in his time with the Crimson Tide. Tennessee has the third Saturday in October with Alabama, and every year they're like, we can get them, we can upset them, we can scare them. Neyland Stadium is always packed, always just riding high, man. We got it. They don't know what they're messing with, yada, yada, yada. Meanwhile, I think in recent memory, Alabama circles Auburn before them. They circle LSU before them. If they ever face Georgia, they circle the Dogs before them. They don't look at Tennessee as a threat. You think that doesn't bug Tennessee? Meanwhile, I think Tennessee's circling the third Saturday in October more than they're circling the game with Florida. I'm sure they're circling the Bama game more than they are the Vanderbilt game. Tennessee's other rivals, they're put on the back burner for Bama. Bama's putting Tennessee on the back burner for other rivals. It's been one-sided. That makes you resent a team. When you have so much image, so much to your image in history like Tennessee does, you've got so much to, as I said, that crowd, that culture, that identity. And Bama just laughs at it. Doesn't even consider you an equal. That's what football has been for the last two decades for Tennessee when they faced a Tide. You think they aren't angry? I think you could argue that Bama and Tennessee both struggled in their recent games because they were looking ahead to this one. Alabama knows that they're not the same, and they know that Tennessee is good. Josh Heupel's got them in good shape. And Tennessee is looking there saying, yep, we're going to get ours again. We're going to take advantage of this. We will be equals again. This will be a competitive rivalry again. I just don't know if Bama's ready for that. I don't think Bama would have a chance if this game were at night. It's at like 2:30. This is a brutal one. I've got Tennessee winning 26-24. After that buildup, we've got number 22, Illinois, number 24, Michigan. I've got Illinois winning 28-20. A lot of people questioning, why in the world is Michigan still ranked? They're 4-2. They've struggled in multiple games. It's a tough look. Their most recent loss was to, who was it, Washington? Washington just got demolished by Iowa. People are looking at Michigan like, dude, what are you doing here? And then we got number one, Texas, number five, Georgia. One of the games of the year. Texas hosts the Bulldogs. I'm sorry. Texas has struggled once, if you can even call it that. They had a pretty slow start against Mississippi State. It was a conference opener, I believe. And Texas won by three scores, I'm pretty sure. So if you can even call that struggling, I mean, do with that what you will. Georgia just struggled with Mississippi State more than they should have. They've struggled with Kentucky. They lost to Alabama. Georgia just has more chinks in the armor. They're on the road. Texas is number one right now. They deserve to be. They just demolished Oklahoma, a rival that's held a hand in their series pretty firmly in recent memory, outside of like a couple years ago. It's been a lot of Oklahoma in that one, even last year. And they go into the Cotton Bowl. They beat Oklahoma 34-3, and that's a good Oklahoma defense. For them to do that, they are riding high. They just blew right past the Sooners. I think that's a testament for any team, but it definitely is for Texas. I just see too many red flags if you're the Dogs here. I got to take Texas, but it'll be a good game. I'll say 34-30. It will be one of the games of the year, living up to that hype. Then we've got two games that are upset alerts, in my opinion. We've got number 12, Notre Dame. They go to Georgia Tech. Notre Dame's number 12, as I said. The Jackets are 5-2. They've won back-to-back conference games, one of which dealt Duke its only loss of the year so far. I mentioned that Duke's 5-1. Georgia Tech's a tricky team, and Notre Dame's on the road? Notre Dame, they're good. They're not great. Great teams don't lose to MAC schools, y'all. So Notre Dame on the road, after a big rivalry win, that's tricky. Then we've got number 8 LSU. Speaking of rivalry games, speaking of teams being on the road, speaking of flawed programs, number 8 LSU goes to Arkansas. There's only a one-game difference in their record. LSU is 5-1, Arkansas 4-2. The Hogs are rivals that are coming off of a bye week, and they're catching the Tigers after a huge rivalry win. Remember, I said Notre Dame just crushed Stanford. Now they got to go to Georgia Tech. Well, LSU just squeaked past a top 10 Ole Miss and has to go to Arkansas. Arkansas is not a pushover. They're not. I don't know what to make of them. I don't know how good/great they are. They kind of struggled with UAB more than I would have liked. But hey, they almost beat Oklahoma State on the road. They beat Tennessee. Fayetteville, they're not going to be messing around for that one. That's a huge rivalry. I'll take LSU to win it close, but that's what upset alerts are all about. It's just supposed to let you know, hey, it could happen. This is the College Try Podcast. I'm your host, Austin Price. You can find the College Try Podcast on ESPN Pensacola's Facebook or on its website in the local podcast page. I'll see you next Tuesday. Take care, everybody. Good night.